that I truly believe is from the Lord, because it's the way I always ask Him to give to me a simple and powerful word. And a word that we can hear and learn from it and put into practice in our lives. It's to share with you that we are a Word of Faith church. And what that means. This is, I put here, our vision. Sometimes we have so many new people coming to this church. Maybe you don't know the vision of this church. Maybe you couldn't join us in our membership class. And you need to know the vision. And one thing is really important is that we are here to present the Word of Faith by teaching an example to people so that they can understand and live out who they are, what they have, and what they can do in Christ and through Christ Jesus. And to develop this truth within the family, community, and social environments. So this is what we are doing here. We are spreading the Word of God. We are spreading the Word of Faith, which is not a denomination or church movement. I always like to explain that. This is the Word of God. Word of Faith is the Word of God. It's like Romans says that. The Word is near us. It's near to you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. And Paul was saying, this is the Word of Faith that we are preaching. So this is the same word. The word Paul was preaching and is the word we preach today. This is the Word of Faith. But it's so important. It's so important for us to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. Because if you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus, at least you need to know that we are children of God. If you don't understand that, who means to be child of God? So, you know, it's not good. You need to understand that at least what you are. Oh, I am a child of God. What do you have? Do you know you have the presence of God inside of you? You have the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you? You need to know that. And then the Word of Faith is an encouraging word. It challenges us every time. I was talking with a couple from Toronto. And they are calling me. They called me. One thing the lady said, I called my attention. And said, I'm a Christian for 16 years. But for the last 6 months, I started listening to Kenneth Hagin and his Kenneth Hagin's messages and the Word of Faith message. And she said, guess what? It's a message that when I receive, I get encouraged to put into practice in my life. And my life is changing. I'm Christian for many years, but my life is changing. And it's a challenge for us. When we receive the Word of Faith, when we receive the Word of God, we need to understand that it's not only, okay, I received Sunday morning, I went to church. I said, Lord, I'm here. This is the commitment I've made to go to church once a month, once a week, once a month, just some people. Just once a week. And then I receive the Word and I go home and I keep my life the way it was before. No, when we receive the Word of God, we receive the Word of Faith, it challenges us to do something with that Word. That's why it's simple and powerful. So we need to know who we are, what we have, and what we can do. When we identify in ourselves, we see ourselves as children of God, having the presence of the Holy Spirit, how can we just stay not doing anything? We start like, oh, Lord, I have to do something. This is what we are doing here, is spreading the Word of Faith, the Word of God, the Word of grace, the Word of love, the Word of healing, the Word of deliverance. This is what we are receiving, and this is what we are giving. So it's so important. It's so challenging. I love this word. I love the Word of God because it's so important, so simple, and makes us change our lives first to be able to help someone else to change. Amen? So understand, Jesus Christ, he was doing the same. He was receiving the Word. Oh no, he was the Word. Yeah, Jesus is the Word of God. But he was receiving from the Lord. And he was obeying the Lord. And he was doing something. So it's an encouragement for you, okay? I want you to open your Bible or read on screen. Joshua 1. Amen. Yes, the Word of God teaches us to have faith in Him. Teaches us to have faith in Him. It's all about faith. It's all about faith in Him. And you know, something I've learned, some people don't like when I say that, maybe. I have to have faith in myself as well. I have to believe in what I can do, but not in my own strength, knowledge, or wisdom, what I can do through Him. So if, yes, I believe God. So, yay, Ali, I'm asking you to do this. Okay, I believe God, but you know, I can't. Oh, no, because you don't believe in yourself. But if I'm asking you to do something, it's because I believe you can do it. When God asks you to do something, even if you don't really believe in you, but He believes in you. That's why He's asking you to do something. And you know, I was reading this scripture, and I'll read again with you now. And again, something really called my attention. Because when God calls us, when you start receiving the word of faith, the word of God, and the Lord is challenging us to do something, to move forward. Now I know who I am. Now I know what I have. So now I know I can do something for Him. And the question was, am I ready to do it? Am I ready to do it? It's 10:49 p.m. I saw your post talking about Smith Wigglesworth. He's preaching on Get Ready or something like that. I told Patricia, look, I'm going to preach something about that tomorrow. I don't know. I didn't have time because it was 11 p.m., almost 11 p.m., to hear the message, to listen to the message. But I believe it's the same Spirit. He's challenging us to do something. He called His church to do something. And sometimes we feel like, I'm not able to do because I'm not ready. When we are going to be ready? What be ready means? That's my question to myself. What means to be ready? Oh, when you are perfect? When you know everything? When you are like, no, we'll never be perfect. We'll never know everything. But the Lord, when He calls us, is because He understands it's our time to do something. And He sees us the way that He thinks that, oh yes, we are able to do it. That's why we need to trust in Him. You need to trust in ourselves that we are able to do, because not in our own, but it's God through us. Philippians 4:13 talks about it. I can do all things. If you don't believe that, I can do. I preached it like a few months ago. I can do all things. It's half of the verse. I can do all things through Him. Through Him who strengthens me. So we can do all things through Him. So I believe in God and I believe in myself because I know He is going to work through me. I just need to obey Him. I just need to do what He's asking me to do. Amen. So let's start. Joshua 1:2 in the King James Version says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. And I also have a New International Version, which says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, the Israelites. And this really called my attention. Arise now. Get ready. When I know I'm ready. Am I ready? Are you ready to do something for the Lord? Are you ready to do? I'm not saying only because when I say do something for the Lord, and you say, no, I'm not ready to be a pastor. I'm not ready to preach on Sunday morning. I'm not ready to do this. No, I'm not. Are you ready to do what the Lord is asking you to do? How do we know we are ready to go? Because the first thought When God gives you an assignment to do something in your job or something in your family, concerning your wife and husband, concerning going outside and reaching out the lost, whatever the Lord is giving us to do, how do we know we are ready to go? And when I won't read all all the scripture in the chapter 1, but you know, Joshua, he sounds like he was ready to go. And I was asking myself, am I ready to go? Many times I said to the Lord, no, I'm not ready. You know my testimony. My pastor was asking concerning my ministry. He was asking me, Delson, when are you going to preach? When are you going to preach? When? So, no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Many times. Until the day I was praising and worshiping the Lord, and the Holy Spirit told me it was time to me to start doing that. And I walked toward my pastor, and during the worship, I didn't wait for the end of the service. And I stopped in front of him and said, when you call me to preach, I'll say yes. Because the Holy Spirit is telling me to do that. Do you think I thought I was ready to do it? No, I was shaking. I was shaking. I was nervous. I didn't feel ready. And this is what I want you to, the Holy Spirit actually wants to show you. So identify what means, understand what means to be ready. Because if you think to be ready is to be perfect, that's wrong. Our perfection is in Him. Did you get it? Amen. Amen. So get ready to cross the Jordan River. So the first point I want to share with you is this. What exactly to be ready means. It's when you see yourself as the Father sees you. I have 4 points I want to share with you. But the first one, and I think one of the most important one, is this one. When you identify, when you understand, when you see yourself the same way God sees you. You know, you remember Moses, when God called Moses, said, who am I? Who am I, Lord, to get your people free from Egypt? Who am I? That's the first question we have. When the Lord asks you, hey, you should go and minister to that person. Oh, you should go and change your job. You should go and buy this. You should go and work in that life. You should go and give and bless that person. You should do something. God is asking us to do something. And the first question, who am I, Lord? Am I prepared? Moses, we are not different. Moses said that, who am I? Because he didn't feel ready to go. And we are not ready when we don't understand and we don't see ourselves the same way God sees us. He was, Lord, what should I do? How should I do? When should I do? I don't know. To me, he was saying that. He was saying, I cannot speak. I'm not eloquent. I'm not prepared. I'm not good enough. Who am I? Is me? Are you sure? So, you know, this is something very important. Instead of when you have an assignment from the Lord, when you have something to do, we know is the Holy Spirit leading us to do. No, don't start giving more value or importance in your weakness or in what you cannot do. Sometimes we do that. Our limitations. Why our first thought is about limitation? Why our first thought is bringing up our weakness or weaknesses? Why? Moses was doing that. Gideon was doing that. Isaiah was doing that. Oh, I'm a sinful man. Oh, I'm so poor. My family is really poor. But the way God saw Moses was different. The way God saw Gideon, he said, a brave warrior. The way he saw Isaiah, he said, no, he touched Isaiah, said, no, you are ready to go. We are ready to go. We don't have the sinful nature anymore. We are born again Christians, family of God. So when you see the way God sees us, it makes a whole difference. Don't give value to your limitations. I have. Paul said, there's grace for us. There's grace for us. No, I'm not going to read that scripture. But you know, my grace is sufficient for you. There's God's grace for us. He's leading us. He said, Moses, tell them, I am has sent you. What should I say? Just say that. Oh, Lord, how can I get that position in my job? It's too difficult to me. I don't think I know enough. I don't think I'm good enough to get that position. But I want that position. No, I have in my heart. I'm praying for. But now, you know, why you are focusing in your weaknesses instead, limitations instead of focusing in God and saying, you know, hey, I'm giving my resume because I know the Lord my God sent me. Why not? He has sent me. Or if you don't, oh yes, I know it's from God, Pastor. I know it's from God. So why you are declaring that it's too hard? Instead of declaring, thank you, Lord, I receive in Jesus' name, it's mine. It's the same with healing. It's already provided for us. And sometimes people say, no, I'm like this. I'm so weak. I'm tired. I'm this. I'm. Instead of focusing in the limitations and in what's not good, let's focus in what's really good, which God in us. Maybe the first thought is this one. But when we start understanding, that's why we are preaching the word of faith. We are teaching people who they are, what they have, and what they can do. It's because of that. Because when something comes to your life, a challenge comes to your life, or something for you to do, an assignment comes to your life, you have to stand like and then say, you know, I can do it. I can do it because the I Am has sent me. Because I know I cannot do in my own strength, but I am doing His strength, in His knowledge, in His wisdom. There's grace for me. Even Peter, when he saw Jesus Christ, he just fell at his knee and said, no, just go away from me. Do you remember that? Go away from Peter. Go away from me, Jesus. I'm a sinful man. And what Jesus did? Jesus didn't see him as a sinful man. He knew. Jesus knew he was like little bit like lose his temper a few times. Jesus knew about him denying Jesus. Jesus knew about his personality. Jesus knew from God. But he didn't see the way Peter saw himself. Peter saw himself as a sinful man. Not able to follow you, Jesus, come on. But Jesus saw him differently. He saw him the same way God saw Peter and said, you know, Peter, it doesn't matter. No, you know, I'm gonna fix that situation in your life. I need you. And then he said, come, follow me. I'll make you a fish for men, for people. Fisher of men. When God asks you to do something, believe he knows what he's doing ahead of you. Amen. First thing to be, so am I ready? Are you asking that question for some reason now in your life? I'm ready. Am I ready? Am I ready to do this? Am I ready to say that? Am I ready to preach there? Am I ready to go and bless someone? Am I ready to, you know, just see yourself the same way God sees you. And a good important thing, if he's asking you to do, is because he trusts you can do it. Because he's not asking me to do it. He's asking you to do it. Amen? So first point, to understand what be ready means is this. See yourself as God sees you. The second one, because Jesus Christ saw him. Jesus, this is a good point. Jesus Christ saw himself in this scripture. I shared that before. When he was reading Luke 4, he has anointed me. He knew it was him. He was reading the scripture. He said, this is me. When you read the scripture, please, church, don't read the scripture like, you know, okay, good for Peter, good for Luke. Oh, good for Jesus, good for Moses, good for... No, read the scriptures and put yourself there. And when you read and say, he has anointed me, and said, hey, thank you, Lord, you anointed Jesus Christ, but he also anointed me to do this, to preach the gospel, to bring people to freedom. You anointed me, so it's me. Oh, come on, Lord, thank you. So I'm reading about Paul, about Silas, about Peter, about John. So they made so many huge miracles. Steve, oh, people filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. People like making like so many miracles was taking place through their lives. So that's one. No. Put yourself in that scripture. Hey, see yourself the same way God sees you. Hey, if they are doing that and I'm in the same position and I have the same spirit and I have the same word and the same promise that I'm going to do the same things and even greater things that Jesus Christ did when he was here. So, oh, it's me. Put your name there. Start seeing yourself like God sees you. Oh, he sees you as anointed one. Because we have the anointing, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells inside of us. Amen. So don't say, I'm not eloquent. I'm not. Moses wasn't. But it's not me. It's him in me. You know, I'm poor. Like Gideon. My family is a poor family in a poor environment. Like Israel was living at that time. Famine and everything else. Losing everything for the Midianites. And it's like, you know, hiding themselves, scared. He put himself in a position that is really low. Sometimes we think like that. No, we shouldn't. You know, it doesn't matter if you don't have much education or college, university education. Doesn't matter if you don't really are eloquent. And that's so beautiful is the difference we have between us. Because you know that story too. I'll grow up. I started preaching in a church with three pastors, great pastors. Manuela probably knows, Eliezer, Janduí. Wow, great pastor. It's the same way. If he calls and calls, you know, Michael, I'm going to call you to preach in that church. Who preached there? Oh, Kenneth Hagin Jr., no? Oh, Kenneth Copeland. Oh, they preach there. Every week we have one like that. And the fourth week is going to be you. What should I do? We have just big names, great guys. No? But, you know, that's the beauty of the ministry. We are different, serving one God. It's beautiful. And I was trying to do something different. I was trying to do something to be like him, like them. I was trying to, that worked. That worked. He was singing during the service, so that worked because people got the anointing and they, no. The guy was with his guitar, preaching and gave him the guitar. And was playing Eliezer and going around and people falling and I said, I'll do the same. I'll walk in between the chairs and it works. Works. No, playing guitar, no. No way. But you know, was him. Was the other one. Wasn't me. This is my way. So this is beautiful. So you don't need. So you need to do what God called you to do. And you need to keep. Like he created you to be. Stay in that position. If you preach. Like quietly. Preach quietly. If you speak out loud. If you run. If you dance. Do it. But we are different. We are different. When you pray, you won't pray the way I pray. When you sing, you don't sing the way I sing. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, but you know, we are different. And we have, when you know, okay, God sees me this way. God has made me this way. This is me. I'm not too high. I'm not too short. I'm not too big. I'm not too small. I'm not, my voice not that beautiful. So this is my way. I am this way, that way. Respect respect who you are. Amen? Amen. Jesus Christ did His way. It was His way. When He talks to us to do like Him, it's actually to do what He did, like praying for people, preaching and laying hands on people, but not to do the way He, okay, Jesus Christ used to do this, and I'll do exactly. He used to sit on the rock and talk. So I'll bring a rock and put here. No, different, but the same word. So the second point to understand when we are ready to go. So if you feel like, you know, yes, Pastor, yes, I see myself as God sees me. So you are ready to go. Amen? So the second thing is, you have to be prepared to obey God's order or command. This is a good sign that you are ready to go. Not because you were the best, not because you are, you know, there's so many great, great people. They are Christians for many years. They are serving the church. They stay in church like all day. They did it, but they are not ready to obey the Lord. So they are not ready to go. Are you ready to do what the Lord is asking you to do? So if you are ready to go, like I said many times, the Lord asked me to go and minister the word to someone. And I didn't go. Because I didn't feel confidence. Not led. I felt led. I didn't feel confidence. Boldness to go and do it. I wasn't ready. But when I understood that God lives in me, and it wasn't me speaking, but God through me. When I got that revelation, then I became ready. I knew more than I knew before the word. I had more knowledge than not knowledge of revelation. But I was the same Delson with a different understanding. But I was ready now. Because I knew that if I obey the voice of God, something's going to happen. So if you want to check it out, you need to see yourself as God sees you, and you need to obey the Lord 100%. 100%. Boldness is very important. The verse Joshua 1:10, I want to read this one. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. So do you believe he was ready to go, Joshua? I believe he was ready to go. And he understood. And he said, Lord, if you ask me to go and take everyone with me and cross the river, I will obey you right away. The verse, Joshua 1:10, just tells me that he knew how to obey the Lord. He was obeying the Lord 100%. Joshua, even before he obeyed the Lord, and this time he obeyed the Lord again, he didn't say, Lord, why me? Moses is dead, so bring somewhere else. Why me? I don't have much knowledge. Why me? I don't know, but God knew he was ready. And how God knew he was ready? Because he was ready to obey Lord's command. He didn't say anything like the others. No, I'm too weak. I'm not that smart. No, he said, yes, Lord, if you are asking me to prepare everything to arise. Actually, my Bible, in Portuguese Bible, says stand up. Like, stand up and go. Get ready and go. And he didn't say anything. He just obeyed the Lord. And that's a good sign that he was ready to go. He was ready to be used by the Lord. So if you are ready to be used by the Lord, if you're ready to do something in your life that he's asking you, he is asking you to do, not you. I think this is good. This is the way you usually say, I think it's good. I think you should go. I think. No, we have to change think to believe. If you ask me something, hey, Pastor, should I move? Should I go? Should I do this? Should I do that? Oh, I don't know. I think so. Yeah, it's a good. This is Delson speaking. But wait for the Holy Spirit to speak through me. Oh, you know, I don't know your situation. I don't know what God wants for you. I don't know if I have a revelation right now. Boom. If I don't have, give me time to pray. If you want me to pray about that, I'll pray with you. Because we have to, yes, I believe. I believe. The same way Joshua received the word, the order from the Lord, his commander. He obeyed. He believed and he obeyed. And he put into practice. The same word we receive every week, every day when we read the scripture, the word of God. This is what's supposed to happen. We receive the word, we believe in the word, and we put into practice in our lives. He received the command from the Lord. He believed. You see, we see here, he called everyone and said, let's do it. We're going to cross. We're going to overcome the land. We're going to take possession of the land. And done. Belongs to us. He believed. And he put some action on it. On that. When you read the scripture, then you have to believe in the scripture. And you have to start putting some action. That's why it's actions of the apostles. Acts of the apostles. The actions of the apostles. Faith with action. Receive, believe, and put into action. This is the way it works. That's why it changed our lives. No, now you see yourself as God sees you. And now you understand that to be ready, you have to obey the Lord in what he's asking you to do. Is he asking you something to you? If he's asking you to do something, little things and big things. He's asking you to start a ministry in Russia. Good for you. But he's also asking you to call someone. Or asking you to walk and talk to your neighbor. He's asking you to go to church. He's asking you to change your job. He's asking you to buy a car. He's asking you to give an offering. He's asking you to, I don't know, he's asking you to change your clothes. It's not good, no. Does God do that? He doesn't worry about clothes. I think he does. Ladies dressing the ways. And then the Holy Spirit was like, sometimes in Brazil it's really hot. Then ladies go to church. The ushers have to come with a little cloth and then cover. The blouse goes here, up here, up here. Like, no, it's not the way. So the Holy Spirit can tell you. So, hey, it's not appropriate. He can do that. He can do that. Yeah, he does. He worries about that. So this is the word we receive. We receive the word. We believe in the word, and we put it into practice. Then it's going to change our lives and change people's lives through us. Amen? The third point I won't miss is to be ready. Now I believe you understand what it means to be ready, is to have your values transformed. What do you think? What do you think is important? Sometimes has to be changed. It's not that important anymore. Because we are ready when you see God first than everything else. When you seek first God, when you seek first His kingdom, when we give more value, when you say, no, there's nothing more important than your word, your commands, your leadership, your love, your presence. Before we received Jesus Christ in our lives, the most important thing used to be like things. House, car, family is important. No, you know, this is what we see so many guys like treating their cars better than treat their wives. Because they put more value on that. So when I know, Pastor, if I'm ready to do what God is asking me to do, you are ready to do it. When you understand that the values of the kingdom is more important. No, your car is not the most important thing in your life. Your car, your money is not the most important. Your clothes, your family, everything. Now it's time to change the values. You have to change your character. You have to have the same character of God. It's time to change things in your life. So what is most important? I have this, our value is no longer to conquer things, but to conquer lives. Go and preach the gospel. Go and to help someone to save that life, to help that person to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. That's our values. That's what is the most important for us. That's the most important for us now. So when we are ready, when we are changing our values, transforming our lives, then we are ready to go. We are not thinking about ourselves anymore. We are not thinking about things anymore. Praise and worship the Lord is more important than do something else. That's our values. Build a relationship with God is the most important thing for our lives. And you know, everything else is going to be added to your life. No problem. No problem. Patricia was watching yesterday the houses that they build, the weird places, like on the top of the rock, in the island, somewhere else. Like most of those houses, the monk, living there. Because they said, I'll give my life to God and I'm going to live by myself. And I'll build up my spirituality and stay there. So makes no sense. They can change their lives, but they won't change anybody else's lives. They won't preach because they live by themselves in an island in the middle of the ocean. Remote place. And then, praise and worship the Lord. It's good for him, but there's something else. Amen. But you know, we are ready when we have our values transformed. Now the values of the kingdom is more important for us. It's more important for us. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know, we have to understand about holiness is more important than everything. Faithfulness is more important than everything. No, integrity is more important than everything. Character, good character is more important. Walking love, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit is more important. When you have our values transformed and to become more like God, more like Jesus Christ, so that's when we are ready to go. When we have that in our lives. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And there's no other treasure or better or bigger or more important than the presence of God in our lives. That's where our heart is or supposed to be, in God. Amen. And the fourth point, to identify if you are ready to go or not, or what be ready means, is to have the heart surrendered to the Lord. When our hearts belong to the Lord, hey, you are ready to go. We are ready to go. Doesn't matter what the Lord asks me to do. My heart belongs to Him. I surrender myself. I surrender all. Used to sing song, I surrender all. When we surrender all, means everything, nothing is more important than Him, than God in our lives. That's why Joshua could say something like, you know, Lord, no, I have to do this first. There's one scripture in Matthew, I think it's 8, that someone was following the Lord. Well, I want to follow you, Lord, but let me bury my father. And the Lord said, you know, let the dead people take care of that. Done. It's time to follow me. It's time to surrender yourself before me. It's time to give your life to me. And it's time to live for me. It's time to be more like me. Then that means to be ready for the Lord. That means to be ready to do what He's calling us to do. And Joshua is a great example. There's so many examples in the Bible. They weren't perfect. We are not perfect in ourselves. Only when we obey the Lord and do exactly what the Lord is asking us to do, then we become perfect in Him. Amen? We are not. Joshua wasn't. Moses wasn't. Peter wasn't. Paul! Oh my God, so many weaknesses in his life. And said, don't worry, my grace is sufficient. Like I said before, yes, His grace is sufficient for us to do what He's calling us to do. Now we need to hear in this message, start identifying in our own lives if we are ready to go. Are we ready to serve the Lord? Are we as a church ready for the next step? We're praying for revival. Are we prepared for revival? Are we ready for revival? Yeah, if you see yourself the way God sees us, yes, we are ready to go. Because when the Holy Spirit starts moving through us, then we're going to move. Are we ready to build up the kingdom of God in this earth, on this earth? Yeah. We need to understand that. We need to understand, because if you don't feel like ready to go, and sometimes we don't feel, but we believe we are ready to go. That's a good thing. You know? When we are transforming ourselves every day, when we are obeying the Lord in every command, in every order He gives to us. It's like in the army. Have you seen yourself like in the army? I didn't have a chance to serve in the army. Praise God. I run away. Yeah, it makes no sense. I want to go to study. In Brazil, you stay 1 year without studying, without doing anything. We don't have war there. Actually, as a dentist, I'm obligated to go to war. But there's no war there. Not anymore. Thank God. You know, but if the commander or the general or the big guy come to you for the soldier and say, you know, you have to go and do this. They don't say, I don't think I'm prepared. They put that guy in jail. At least in jail, or much more than that. I don't think I'm going to obey you today because, you know, I have my principles. I don't think I'm going to shoot anybody. I don't go protect my country because, you know, I don't feel ready to go. I don't want to obey you because, you know, I have my values. I don't do that. I want to stay at home. I want to stay. No, there's no way to just see like that. When we are in the army of God, walking by faith every day, when the Lord comes to us and say, this is what I want you to do, you know, even if you are shaking your legs, you have said, I'm going to do it because it's you through me, Lord. I'm going to do it because your values is more important than mine. I'm going to do, Lord, because I want to obey you 100%. This is the way it works. And I want to do it, Lord, because I'm surrounded. I belong to you. I don't belong to myself anymore. You bought me with a really high price, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. You know the result of this? You know, one thing, I'm not reading the scripture, Joshua 1, but I'm taking words from Joshua 1 just to show how he was surrounded to the Lord. When the Lord was asking him to keep this book of the law always on your lips, that's a good sign that you are surrounded by the Lord. When you keep the book of the law, or to keep the word of God in your mouth, always speaking the word, always speaking faith, always speaking that the Lord is the great God, always speaking that you belong to God. When you are doing that, like the Lord was telling him to do, sounds like we are surrounded. Our hearts belong to the Lord. He said, meditate on it day and night. There's nothing more important in my life than meditating in the Word, meditating in what God wants for our lives and through our lives. So yes, I'm surrounded, Lord. If you're asking me to do something, I'm going to meditate in you to know how to do it. That sounds like he was ready. You may be careful to do everything written in it. So being surrounded Surrendered. Surrendered means that we're going to do everything. Everything is written. Everything. Not missing anything. Be careful to obey all the law. Again, obedience. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. So always focusing in the Lord. Always. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So a heart surrendered means to believe that the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Because this is what happened. He told Joshua, wherever you go, I'll be with you. That's why we are surrendered. So I belong to you, Lord. I'm going to obey you, Lord, because I know wherever I go, you will be with me. And that was the result. I'll tell you the result. Then you will be prosperous and successful. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. That's the result for those that understand and what means to be ready to go. When we understand and we put into practice, we obey the Lord, then that's the result. We will be prosperous and successful. Church, whatever God gives you to do, you will be prosperous and successful. No one can stand against you. No one can stop you to doing what the Lord asks you to do. It's a simple, powerful example, the way it works. So this is the way it should work for our lives. So now I hope you understand that you are ready to go when you have these 4 points in your lives and much, much more. But see yourself the same way God sees you. That's, I think, is so important. Be ready to obey the Lord like Joshua did. And then surrender yourself, your heart, and change your values. Now it's God in you. It's what is right and important to the Lord. It's not more about you. It's about God. So there are 4 points, simple ones, that when you really get into those, we will have our life changed. And we will understand that we are ready to go. We are ready for the next step. We are ready for serving the kingdom. We are ready to build up the kingdom. We are ready to promote God in this earth. We are ready to be a blessing in our families. We are ready to be a blessing in our works. We are blessing to we are ready to be a blessing wherever we go. We are able to do anything the Lord is asking us to do. Anything. When the Lord asks you tomorrow to do something, believe you are able to do it because of Him. Amen. That's the result. You will be prosperous and successful in everything you do because He's going to be with you. If you are in obedience, God is there. Disobedience, you are in trouble. You have to be in obedience. And you know, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? We are not scared. I know the enemy is trying to stop the church of Christ. The enemy is trying to stop us. He's trying to kill us. He's trying to deceive us. He's trying to do things against us. And we are not scared. Because we know that no one can stand against us. No one can stop us. If you are obeying the Lord, if you are in the Lord, if you are doing what He's asking us to do, how can someone stop us? This is the way it works, church. That's why we believe in the Word. We receive, we believe, and we put into practice. And you see, tomorrow, you'll be able to cross the Jordan River. You'll be able to cross. You'll be able to overcome not only the spiritual realm or the spiritual things and authorities of darkness. Cross the Jordan River was something natural for them. We see as a spiritual thing, but also a natural thing. What's holding you back? What's stopping you to move forward? Let's cross the Jordan River. Let's cross the natural barriers that is in front of us. Let's do that. What's holding you back? What's because sometimes we have a wall in front of us and you just stay there like, what should we do? What should I do? No, just let's break the wall. Let's cross the river. It's much simpler than before. He's not asking you to walk on the river. Just walk through the river. It's not the Red Sea that has to be opened. It's a situation that I don't know what is the situation. But you know, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, what you have and what you can do, you will be able to cross the Jordan River. Cross what is stopping you to move forward. Stopping you to do the will of God. Let's see that. There's so many Jordan Rivers in front of us. There's so many. So many. But the Jordan, this means that, you know, you are in a situation that God wants you and bring you to a different situation. It's a better one. It's a promised land. It's the place of your prosperity. It's the place of provision. It's the place of healing. It's the place, that's the place of faith in our lives. When you cross the Jordan, it means like, yeah, you know, it's the breakthrough for us to finally start walking by faith every day in our lives, understanding who we are, what you have, and what you can do in Christ Jesus. So this is the word of faith we preach. This is the word of faith. This is the encouragement. Is it challenging? Yes. Yes. But I want to see you better tomorrow than you were yesterday. No. This word cannot just leave you there in the same position. We'll bring you to a new position. We encourage you to cross the river to be in the position of faith every day in your life. Amen? Done? Amen. Can you stand up, please?